The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hey, we'd like to welcome you to worship. We're so pleased to have you with us. And tonight, our theme is that we're adopted by God. And I got to thinking, you know, we all walk through that door. And I think the prodigal son, who wasn't expecting a whole lot, in fact, was expecting that the dad would welcome him as a servant, and that was it. And he'd get a servant's portion and everything else. But the great news for you and for me is we walk in that door, and the father greets us with the biggest hug and welcomes us and says, "Welcome, my daughter. Welcome, my son. You're home. You're home." And that's what we get to celebrate tonight. And great thing tonight is we also get to share the meal that the Father provides as well. And as we head into worship, a few things I'd like to share. First of all, if you are back home from far away or nearby, very special welcome. Glad you're here. Or if you're visiting with us, also very special welcome. And if you're just are here a lot, just glad you're here and that you keep coming back and that this is part of who you are to be part of this community. We do have connection cards right in front of you in the pew, and I'd like to invite you to go ahead and fill one of those out. And if you have a prayer request or would like us to contact you, especially you visitors, I will say, please, we had a lot of visitors on Christmas Eve, and they put their names and no contact information, no phone numbers, no addresses. So, and they wanted to be contacted, so we'll see what we can figure out. Okay, so fill that out. We will have a prayer minister also up here at the end of the service. If you just have anything on your heart, you can come up and pray with Amy. She'll be up here with us today. Special offering. This is our last weekend for our special offering for the month, and that's for Mission de Candelia, our Mexico mission group that operates in northern Mexico. I do want to mention that we do have a New Year's Eve service this coming Wednesday at 6 p.m. 6 p.m., that'll be the 31st, and of course right here in the sanctuary. And we will have Sunday school in the morning for adults, and no breakfast bar, but we should have coffee and some, just come and have some time of fellowship. Boy, other announcements are in your bulletin. One other thing I need to mention is that a sister in Christ, Ora Knopp, passed away this past Friday, and her funeral services are pending. They'll be through Shedders, so if you want to watch the Shedders website, please be in prayer for her whole family and also all of her friends. With that, I'm going to invite you to stand. And we are in a moment going to start with the confession, but we're going to start with the peace of the Lord. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share the peace with one another and welcome one another in the name of Christ. Again, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, you search us out and know us, and all that we are is open to you. We confess that we have sinned. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. When we make no room for Christ and fail to welcome him into our lives, in your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. When we refuse to take the time to follow the shepherds to the manger because we're too busy with other things, in your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. When we sing sweet sentiments over Christ's birth and fail to rejoice over his everyday presence, in your mercy, Lord, forgive us and heal us. Turn our hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us and heal us. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus, my Savior and the Savior of the world. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together with our opening songs.
Good Christian friends rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today.
May we pray, please. Almighty God, your beloved Son is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Grant that we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and that in the last day we may wake to the brightness of his glory. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
When we confess our sins, we often say the words, "I confess that I am in bondage to sin and cannot free myself." In the darkness of sin, we are slaves. But thanks be to God that there is one who bought our freedom, not with silver or gold, but with his holy, precious blood shed on the cross. Not only did Jesus buy our freedom, but he also adopted us and made us a part of his family. St. Paul shares a wonderful word with us through his letter to the Galatians. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. The word of the Lord.
Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord God, we thank you that you call each one of us by name and that we are indeed yours. We thank you that you know us so well. But Lord, it's hard to believe that we are so deeply loved. So we ask that you would indeed send the Spirit of your beloved Son into our hearts, that we may hold on and grasp how deep and wonderful your love is for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. We are adopted by God. That means, I don't know what that means to you. And my question today is, do you know what that means to you? Have you ever thought about it? Not many of you are adopted. I have been grown up in an adoptive family. A few of you have. Not many of you have adopted a little one. Although a number of you have sort of adopted the neighbor's kids and that sort of thing. I know that happens quite a bit. But do you understand? I was thinking about 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where we're told that see what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That's what you are, is a child of God. And in fact, I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, that's what you are. A son or a daughter of God. Go ahead. And as St. John says, and that's what you are. Okay, that is what you are. He's simply declaring a fact. That is what you are. In Jesus Christ, you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And if you are a daughter of the king, what does that make you? A princess, indeed. All right. And so, men, remember that. All right, with the women in your family. All right, now, all right, women. Men, if you are a son of the king, what does that make you? A prince. All right, women, remember that. Fair's fair, right? Now, given that you all are royalty in Christ, how'd you get there? How'd you get there? Well, Paul, as he was planting churches, we got to understand that he was in a culture. We think sometimes that our culture has just kind of gone off the rails. I would put up Roman culture against our culture today almost any day of the week in terms of just off-the-wall stuff. And so Paul, when he is out in the culture, there was no Christian basis. There was no Christian nation. There was no idea of basic human rights. I mean, it was very, even though that was long before Darwin, it was very Darwinian, as in the strong ate the weak. I mean, that's kind of how it ran. And you had a very stratified society. It was here and here and here and here, and you had your place. And when Christ came and he started treating people on equal footing, it was very upsetting to society. It was very upsetting to the status quo of the day. And when those early church communities started to be planted and grow, and you started in these small churches, these house churches, which would be five or six people, and then 20, and then maybe 30 people, and you had the very wealthy, and you had slaves, and you had free people, and you had people of different races and languages, and they started coming together in Christ, people really didn't know what to do with that on the outside. And so Paul, when he's writing, when John is writing to these communities, he's saying, what binds you together is not your common ethnicity. What binds you together is not your common language. What binds you together is not your economic status or your educational level. What binds you together is not your race, your color, any of that. What binds you together is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a son or daughter. And when you look at that other person, they're a sibling in Christ. It's Christ that binds you together in our faith in him. And so no matter what race or economic level, no matter what educational level or language, in Christ, we're brought together. And again, it created a lot of turmoil in some of these communities. But in the process, it also brought healing to a lot of these communities that had been so separated for centuries by this very, very strict way of thinking. And so for the people on the outside to see these Christians, you know, here's this Christian woman who is very wealthy and she's talking to this slave girl of a different race and caring about her and loving her and helping provide for her when she was sick. People went, who are these people? And what is it that binds them together like this, that causes them to even want to be? They had never seen anything like it. And these communities started spreading throughout the ancient world. And it got people's attention. And so when Paul is writing to them about adoption, he's saying, we have a new family now that goes beyond genetics. Our family is blood, but it's the blood of Christ. And so I want to go through these few verses of Galatians 4 because it really is helpful for us. So let's go to this first verse here. We're told that Paul says, when the right time came. Here's the question. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, was that timing accidental? No. It was the right time. It was the right time in history. It was the right place. The right time came. God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. And verse 5 says this. God sent him to buy freedom for us. Remember when we said we start out, I'm in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. We're in bondage to sin. We're in bondage to the law. We can never fulfill the law. We can never do everything right that the law demands. And what we're told, what Paul is telling us here is that the Father sends the Son to buy freedom for us. We were slaves. And what's interesting is, could you go in? Let's say that, you know, God forbid, we had a slave market. Could you go, technically, and purchase a slave and then say to that slave after you purchase that slave, okay, you're free? Could you do that? Sure. Yeah, you could set that person free. But is that what Jesus does here? No, he does one way better. He buys our freedom and does what to us? He adopts us, makes us his children. Now, is that a whole nother level? That's how he sees you. He says, you know what? I know you've been trapped in sin. I know that you can never dig your way out of it. And I am buying you not with gold or silver, but with my precious blood. I'm buying you with my love for you, with my blood, paying the price to set you free. And I'm not just setting you free to say, okay, you're free, now go live your life. No, he says, you're free. Now be part of my family. Now, can you imagine that? I want you to imagine a king and a queen. And they come, and let's say that you have been in servitude your whole life to a very just wicked person. And the king and queen come and say, all right, we're going to purchase your freedom, and they go ahead and pay the price for your freedom. And you're thinking, oh, finally I'm free of that. Now, is that pretty remarkable? It's wonderful. But God doesn't stop there. I'm going to keep coming back to this because it's so important that you know this. Because what God says to you is, here's the king, right? And he comes and he says, I'm buying your freedom. But it's not just so you can go out there and be on your own. I'm going to give you a family. A family like you've never had or never could have on your own. I'm making you my own daughter, my own son. And I will tell you, you know, I think of the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? He is living, he's really in bondage. I mean, he really is. He is out there, he's eating the pods that the pigs were eating, for heaven's sakes, and he could barely get any of those. And he thought, you know what? The servants of my father's household are better off than me. So he comes back and he makes it up in his mind. He says, you know what? I'm going to say, Dad, or sir, I am not worthy to be called your son. I just make me a servant and at least I get something to eat. And when the father sees him, he runs to him, embraces him, and restores him to sonship. Was that what the son was expecting? Not at all. But that's what God gives you. But here's the thing. It can be very hard for us to believe that we are that dearly loved and that God has actually done that for us. It's just hard to believe. Because you're thinking, pastor doesn't know me. He doesn't know this. He doesn't know that. It doesn't matter. And you might say, well, God, if God only knew me, oh, wait a minute. Does he? He knows it all. And he still looks at you and he says, I still want you as part of the family. I still want you as my daughter. I still want you as my son. Even if you keep running away, I still want you back. Because I love you that much. You know, my experience is there's a lot of times, I know this intellectually. I know this here. But there's an awful lot of times it's awful hard to feel it here. And going on to verse 6, we get something else here, a gift. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. What he's saying is, and this is an invitation I want to give you tonight, and because it's an invitation Paul has given you, it's an invitation that the Lord is giving you, is to say, Holy Spirit, come. When the Holy Spirit comes, it is the Spirit of Christ, and make me believe it here. I know it here. I know I'm an adopted son in Christ through faith. I know it. I know it. But Lord, help me believe it in my heart. Help me to know it when I lay down and when I wake up. Help me to know that I'm your son, that I'm your daughter, and there's nothing that can tear me away from your family and tear me away from your love. That those two words, Abba, Father, that they are Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus cries out Abba, right? I mean, it is that word daddy. It is the closest word that you can get to, it's not just Father, okay? It is the one who is dad. He said, it's only through the Holy Spirit, it's only through the Spirit of Christ that we can do that. And so as we take communion today, I'd invite you as you're walking up or as you go back or afterwards as you're praying, you can just come up to the kneel. Kneel at the rail if you know it up here but are having trouble here, come kneel. And say, Abba, Daddy, send your Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit. Notice the word. God has sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts. God's doing it, prompting us to say it. That's the promise. And then verse 7, we'll close with this. Now you are no longer a slave, but what? God's own child. And since you are a child, he has made you his heir to eternal life, to a life with him that you're never going to be away from. Even if you're not thinking it here, you can always know that in Christ, he's got you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, for your grace, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit into us, the Spirit of your Son, into our hearts, and prompt us to call out, Abba, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We continue in prayer, please. Lord God, the angels proclaim your glory, not just on one night in Bethlehem all those years ago, but every moment of every day and night. Glory to you, Lord God, of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna to the highest. Lord God, you are the one who has made the stars. You have put them in their places. You have numbered them and called them by name. What are we? What are we? But these small mortals, and yet you sent your Son to die for each and every one of us because we are so dear and precious to you. Lord, send your Holy Spirit on each person in this room. Send your Holy Spirit on this community, that they may experience your power and grace, but most of all, your love. Bless us as we share in this time of Holy Communion, that we would be filled, that we would hear the words, that this is for each and every one of us, that you came, that you laid down your life, that you shed your blood. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, we thank you for your holy and precious church throughout this world. So many denominations, so many languages, so many nations, so many people. And Lord God, we ask that you would surround and protect your beloved ones, that you would give us boldness in proclaiming the gospel, that you would watch over those communities that are under persecution, and those that are perhaps way too comfortable. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up that we may make the difference in this world that you call us to make and to be the people that you have made us to be. Lord, in your mercy, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive its King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love. And wonders, wonders.
children of God, as we prepare to go out into that mission field of the world. First of all, I got to thank our musicians who have been, I don't even know how many days they've been playing and singing here in the last week with all of the services. So can we just give them a round of applause? They have done overtime plus overtime on this, and it is such a gift to us to be able to celebrate like this. I'll tell you with this, I was listening to these words and you all singing "Joy to the World," let Earth receive its King. You were singing about your Papa. You were, your Lord and King, and your Dad. Isn't that something? Hey, as a reminder, we will have a prayer minister up here, or just take some time on the rail yourself. We'll be moving around a little bit because with our altar guilds, we're going to be fixing stuff with communion. But reminder, if you want to come back on New Year's Eve and start the year on that foot, we'd sure love to have you at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. But now, beloved children of God, you